When I'm out driving in my car, I like to be able to steer. So I don't drink beer. And when I try to communicate, I want for my words to be clear. So I don't drink beer. I don't drink beer, 'cause it doesn't make me feel well. And I need every brain cell I've been given. And I don't drink beer, I don't mean to be overcautious, but the bitter taste makes me nauseous. I don't drink beer. When I'm out walking round the town, I don't want to fall down on my rear. So I don't drink beer. When I'm trying to ride a wave, I don't want to crash into the pier. So I don't drink beer. I don't drink beer, I don't need to head for the mountains, or wake up in the malt fountain on Sunday morning. And I don't drink beer, I don't need an advisor to know that Bud don't make me wiser.
This earpiece is completely driving me crazy. I don't know why some days I can make it work and others I can't, but it just doesn't want to stay there today. I wonder what I'm doing wrong. Someone threw up in my ear. Yeah, what song is that? It's in like every wedding. Was it? I will be here. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like in every wedding. It's a default wedding song. All right, we'll see if this will stay on my ear here. So today, I've been thinking about this topic for a long time, the topic being sin. And so now you guys are getting a little frustrated with me because about half of you thought that thing was kind of funny, and about half of you are like, wait a minute, I don't. Yeah. You're getting alcoholism and just casual drinking all mixed up in that song, and you're starting to get all defensive about it because you like beer and you don't see right. So, and really, that's part of the reason I want to talk about sin is because it is a tough, tough topic to talk about, and it's one that we probably don't talk about as much as we should. In fact, let's just first hit on this first point here. So is it a sin to drink alcohol? Come on. Okay, just so you know, there's going to be a list of questions here, and just pop them out, all right? Just give me answers. Is it a sin to drink alcohol? Is it a sin? Is it ever a sin to drink alcohol? Oh, we got. Do I? Excellent. Thanks for bringing one, Rob. Is it ever a sin to drink alcohol? Okay, yeah. What about social drinking? Is it ever a sin to just social drink? Where did I get that yes from? Mr. Richie? Way to go, Richie. I don't know why I'm saying that, but just proud of you for being bold. So, came in this morning and I saw Judy sitting over there and Lainey, and Lainey and I had a fun little discussion, right? Fun little discussion last night. We'll just leave it at that, about alcohol. And I just ripped a hole in my pants. Look at that. I did. I'm not kidding. That is cheap pants right there. And I asked Judy, I said, is it a sin to drink? And she said, I think your response to me, do you remember what you said to me exactly? You said, it's a sin for me. That's what you said. It's a sin for me. And that's where this gets really dicey, because there are certain things in the world that can be a sin for one person and not be a sin for another person. And so it creates this kind of gray environment about, well, yeah, you can say that's a sin and that's great and you don't do it, but I'm completely good with that. And as I told Judy, or I was asking Judy about this, I said, does she ever see a situation? Okay, and just in case you don't know Judy, Judy helps a lot of people in the community. And how long have you been helping people with alcoholism?
30 years.
So she's been dealing with people with alcoholism for a long time. I said, is there ever a situation where someone would say, yeah, I grasp that it's a sin for you, Judy, to drink, but it's completely fine for me, and Judy is looking at them knowing they shouldn't be drinking. It's a situation where someone can see the sin in your life, but you can't see it yourself. It gets really, really dicey. Now, we're talking about alcohol in this case, just as an example, but let's talk about some other things. Oh, there we go. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. And that fits right into what Judy's talking about. It's not that drinking alcohol by itself is a sin at all, but for Judy, based on her past and what she's gone through, for her to drink alcohol is a sin. Okay? All right? Are you guys with me? Kind of grasping this? All right. Ha ha. Is it a sin to cuss? We had a big cussing discussion at house church, and so we had a competition to see who could cuss the most. Stephen Ritchie won. That's not fair, was it? That wasn't right at all. He didn't win. It was Stephen Small that won. Yes. Oh, you can't ask questions. I'm asking questions. Ah, so we think we need to define it before we can, okay. All right, so what is cussing, right? So is it a sin to cuss? Did anyone answer that, by the way? Okay, so Cheryl Lee has taken a stand and said yes. But then where are we at? We got a no on the front row. Back corner. Ah, so you're going to go both ways. Excellent. The intent behind the words, okay. Yes, back to the back row.
Yeah.
You say that around my kids? Okay, I'm bringing this up because we had a question about what is cussing, right? We obviously have people kind of dancing around this subject. Does anyone want to raise their hand if they occasionally cuss? And how many of you feel good about it? Way to go, Rob. It was a big day for them, wasn't it? It was the beginning of the fall. All right. All right. Difficult topics. Yes.
I think this is more or less the question. If it's okay for adults to curse, would you allow your children to do it?
Ho, ho, ho. Good point. And if you wouldn't allow your children to do it, is it okay for you to do it? Excellent. Excellent thought. All right. We're not answering questions. We're asking. I'm doing what you really hate. I will let you talk. I'm doing what people really hate, or at least I hate it. I hate it for someone to ask me a question and then to go on without answering it. But I'm going to do that today, so sorry. Okay, Stephen?
This may not mean that it's okay to swear, but I do know, you know, there's lots of instances where you're speaking with some people who, just because of the social situation, it's like having more colorful language may put them at ease.
Who do you hang out with? No, I know what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it may sound odd, but I think sometimes if somebody, the way you speak, even if you're making a point not to swear and speak very nicely, that may also have an effect on the way other people see you. And so sometimes kind of making a point to speak very nicely can maybe put people ill at ease.
Yeah, I'm with you. Man, you guys are just in a chatty mood today. I love it. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do, I mean, I know somebody said that they know a lot of verses supporting that it is a sin. One of those would be James 1:26, and it talks about how vulgarity, like if you can't control your tongue, then you're not righteous or something like that. And then we have a verse from Romans that says, do your best to live peaceably with others. And in my view, vulgarity is determined by the culture and the people you're around. So, like he said, there's some people who view cussing as a way to speak. There's people from other generations, other places that have been raised to view cussing as a sin. And I believe that when we live peaceably with others, if we do it around people who are going to get offended by it, then yeah, we should watch what we say because that is offensive to them and that should be considered a sin for us to infect what they believe or whatever. So, I mean, pretty much what I'm saying is it depends on who you're around and what your motivation is, because if you're trying to do what's best for the people around you, then you're going to respect what they believe.
Okay, so what you guys... Oh, yes, go ahead. Sure. It's more difficult, yeah.
There's a book called The Dictionary. And I feel that if you don't...
A dictionary? What's that? Okay. That's a good point. Good point. If you want to learn the language and be creative, maybe. As you guys are hearing, you're seeing different kind of, it's like theologies that people create about these different topics. And when we're talking about sin, for me, sin is all about the separation from God. Sin is, it's the actions and the things that you do that are separation from God. And so I'm not going to sit here and debate all day on topics one way or the other, whether or not something is a sin or is not a sin. if you're classifying it as a sin. So if for you cussing is a sin, then you ought not be doing it. It's really, really simple there. But if you don't see that, and again, it goes back to the definitions of cussing and all these types of things. All right, let's go on. Is it a sin to spank? Wait a minute. I was amazed. Okay, hold on. Okay, so I got like this like chorus of no, and it was all these parents, right? Right? And then I heard a little yes. Who said yes? Okay. I am amazed how chatty you guys are. Excellent. Oh, yes, Brandon. Sorry. So let's change it up a little bit. So is it a sin to gossip? Ah, everybody together. Yes. Why is it a sin to gossip? Why do we know that? You're tearing down people. Okay, that's...
Is gossip always considered talking crap about other people? Or because if
well, that's a fair point. I'd have to look it up. I didn't look it up in Webster or anything to see exactly what it was, so...
Yeah, if you're talking to someone, you're just like, this person's struggling with this, you know what I mean? Like, how can you help them?
Yeah, that would be gossip. No. Okay. But let me step back a little more. Why do we have much more unanimous agreement that gossip's wrong? Come on. You guys can help me here. Do what? We don't even, okay, but it's even more basic than that. Yes. Okay, it actually affects someone else directly. Great. Judy?
My definition for me for sin is anything that I do knowingly to harm myself or others.
Okay. I'm trying to even get more basic. Are you guys going to find a verse that says it's a sin to cuss and actually use that word? Probably not. You're going to find stuff that might talk about controlling the tongue. What did you say it was? You thought it was in James? I don't have any idea where it's at. Okay, James 1:26, okay. You're not going to find a verse that talks about spanking, right? You're going to find stuff that talks about getting drunk, but probably not just about drinking. But what about gossip? Yeah, it's more specifically defined, isn't it? That's why it gets a little easier for Christians, because you can actually find that someplace, all right? So that gets a little more straightforward. Oh. So is it a sin to use illegal drugs? Oh. we're kind of dancing around here a little bit. Dancing around a little bit. All right.
Yes, but that's one of those that, again, it's not going to say illegal drugs, but it does say for us to respect the authorities that God has put in place.
Ah.
Because he set them in place. Therefore, we should honor the laws, honor the governors, the government, even though we don't agree with all the things that our government has.
There was a topic recently where some people were talking about this in a situation I was in, and one of the persons said something very good, which is that what makes the illegal drug, when you put that word in there, makes it really significant, is because in order to use those drugs, other things have to have happened. You have to have bought them someplace illegally, and so other steps have to get in place. And so it makes this become, for most Christians, they can get a little bit more comfortable saying that makes that something you ought not be doing. Not everyone in here is going to agree with that, but you're going to find a little more unanimity. Anyways, agreement among us. Okay. All right, let's move on. I thought I'd go through that slide in 5 minutes, and it's taken over half the time. So does TLR discuss sin enough? How often do we talk about sin around here? Pico? Yeah, come on. Do we talk enough about sin? You guys can say yes or no. It's all right. Brandon says yes. I see a no on the back row. If you think we talk enough about sin, no, if you think we don't talk enough about sin, raise your hand. So we've got a few people. If you think we do talk enough about sin, raise your hand. All right, so we've got kind of a nice mixed bag there. All right. I was surprised whenever I brought this topic up about talking about sin that I had a person say to me right away that they didn't think we talked enough about sin, which did concern me a little bit, because it's certainly something. We don't want to just talk about the righteous side of living, but we also want to talk about the clearing ourselves of the unrighteousness. It's this whole oughts versus ought nots, things we ought to be doing. I think it's a lot of fun to talk about things that we ought to be doing, and it's much less controversial, much less pushy. So it's like, yeah, we can all say we're not caring for the community well enough. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. We ought to do this. We ought to have a children's program for this, or we ought to do this. But when we get into these ought nots, these things that we think we should or should not do, I think it gets really, really a lot more difficult. Part of that comes straight from the Bible, all right? So what actions are important? So in Matthew 22, this is great. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, so one group of leaders in the Jewish community, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, who was an expert in the law, tested Jesus. He's talking to Jesus. Tested Jesus with this question. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? What's the most important thing of this old Jewish law?" And Jesus replies just straight away, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So we got to love, right? And we talk a lot about this. Love, 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 love. What does love mean? If we're going to love, if we're going to love God, and we're going to love our neighbor, what kinds of actions does that indicate that we're going to do? What kinds of things are going to come out of that? What are our lives going to look like? Servant, excellent. Right? What else? Love ourselves. What does that look like? Freedom? Ah, ha, ha, freedom. We love freedom. Yep. What does love look like? Is loving, is that a list of things that you start doing? Do you love someone by starting things, or do you love someone by stopping things? Yeah. Do we think about that very often, though? I don't. Normally when I think about love, I think about starting, about something that I'm not doing for someone that I ought to be doing. I think that, hey, there's a good friend at TLR that I've not talked to in a while. So I've been talking to Steve Ritchie all day. I'll just keep it up. So I'm thinking, Steve Ritchie, hey, if I haven't talked to Steve Ritchie in a while, I ought to pick up the phone and call him and see how he's doing. That's the way my brain works. That's how you love. You start doing things. But what about some examples where you stop doing something? Are there cases where you stop doing stuff? Eric. Okay. All right, I'll chew on that one. All right. Okay. All right, Shirley. Well done. Not saying something to your spouse that you want to desperately because they're so wrong. When you're, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that when we're born, we left, we're left, left, and we're made from left.
Okay.
And when you are born, you love your parents, and I think as you go along with life, then you start getting angry if someone treats you bad, like your parents.
Okay, so the love kind of goes away somehow or another. Yeah. Judy.
Not going along with the crowd.
Not, okay, that's an example of love, yes. Of stopping something is to not go along with the crowd. I assume you're implying when the crowd's doing something you ought not be doing. You ought not be doing. Excellent. When you're a parent, for me, and I'm sorry, but it's my relationship to my family really, really always helps me to get a better grasp on what I'm doing. And when I think about my own children and loving my own children, it's as much about what I'm teaching them not to do as it is what I'm teaching them to do. Don't you agree, Savannah? Sure. Excellent. It's as much about teaching them what not to do as it is about teaching them what to do. Yes.
A few years ago, I
So guys, what I'm doing here is I'm trying to build a case for why it is important, regardless of whether you think we do or don't talk about sin enough around here, why it is important as a community to talk about sin. So I want you guys to, that's where we're going with this thing. I want to make sure you guys are grasping that. In my marriage, I can tell you that I can make Jill just as happy by stopping doing something that's annoying her as I can by doing something that's really going to please her. Is that true? What have I stopped that really bugs you? Can you think of anything? Yeah. So talking to my wife while I'm kind of like halfway talking to her because I'm touching my phone or I'm typing my computer or I'm watching TV at Buffalo Wild Wings while she's trying to talk to me, that kind of thing. Shutting the lid, sticking the phone in my pocket and trying to give her my attention. Yeah. She didn't have to say anything. I could see the fire in her eyes once I started getting clued into it, how annoying that was to her. And so I still do it, but I'm getting much better at that. And I think in churches, this is difficult because we don't want to be negative as a community, right? We don't want to be talking about how you're a terrible person and you need to stop this. That's not much fun to talk about. So how do we love? Do we add to our to-do list or do we start with creating a stop doing list? Do we add to our to-do list or do we start by creating that stop doing list? I learned a few years ago that anytime I'm adding something new into my life, something new that I'm going to add to my plate, and so let's say I decide I'm going to start going to a new Bible study on a certain night of the week, I've learned that I need to consciously think, what can I pull off that list? Because if I just keep adding and adding to that list, I let God down, I let people around me down. It's just a constant problem for me. I actually need to stop doing things to open up time so that I can start doing things. And oftentimes the things I need to stop are things that are pulling me away from God. And that's why it's so key to get those out of my life. If I'm involved in a softball team that I'm playing four nights a week, and so now I can't have any good holy community where I actually challenge myself to become a better person for God because I'm so busy playing softball, maybe I need to think about, you know, maybe it's a short enough period of time, it's not a big deal. Maybe I'm letting that get out of bounds a little bit. I need to stop it. And charity. And if you take this view of sin as sin being the thing that separates you from God, so it's an action that separates you from God, pulls you down, there can be things that are sin in your life that seem completely okay, seem completely fine. And you need to chew on these things and really look at where your time's going. A few years ago, I started doing something which was really foreign at the time, and now it seems so completely obvious. I started planning nights that are blocked out on my calendar where I have nothing planned. And if someone calls me up and says, what are you doing on this night? I'll say, oh, I'm busy that night. What are you busy doing? Nothing. Well, can't I fill your time for you? Because I would really like for you to do this for me. I'm like, no, I'm actually busy that night. I'm doing nothing that night. And the reason for that is that for me, I get burned out and I get where I'm not a very effective servant for God. And when I can have some free times, occasionally a true Sabbath Saturday, a true Saturday where we don't have anything planned as a family, and we wake up that day as a family, and all really the plan is we're going to be a family, and that's it that day. And we wake up, and then we say, what do you want to do? We might want to go for a bike ride. We might want to go do this. We might want to go do that. But the whole point is that we spend that day together, and we protect that from being drawn away from other things. I mean, drawn away from that to do other things in the world that keep us from being that tight family that we have learned is really, really, really important. So creating a stop doing. All right. Shouts versus shout nots. If we back up here. We've got this love verse, okay? And I've made this mistake many times in my life, and I made it again this last week, that I read this, and my brain automatically says, well, this must be a part of the Ten Commandments, because I don't have the Ten Commandments memorized. And so you look at this, and you say, oh, well, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Well, that must be one of the Ten Commandments. And this love your neighbor as yourself must be one of the Ten Commandments, but they're actually not. If you go dig around in Deuteronomy, you'll find in Deuteronomy 5, there's a listing of the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy 6, there's these additional commandments, right? Kind of Mosaic commandments or something like that. And that's what these are from, okay? So this is kind of a different type of commandments. Let's go look at these original Ten Commandments. And I want us to think about which ones of these are the thou shalts, and which ones of these are the thou shalt nots, right? I mean, these were pretty big deals, right? This was kind of like a Cliff's note of what a person that's going to be a God follower ought to do a few thousand years ago. It was a nice starting point. It was saying, hey, these are some good things. If you can get these in line, you're going to be moving in the right direction. This isn't all there is to it, but it's certainly a good starting point. So the first one up here is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, I'm going to say that's something you're doing, because it's kind of saying, thou shalt put me first, God. Yeah. So we'll say that's an action. We'll put it in that way. That's this right hand. The second one is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And this is nice, good old King James-like verbiage here, but we'll stick with it. The third one is, so right hand is the thou shalts, and left hand is the thou shalt nots. The third one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Fourth one, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's a thou shalt. So now we're two and two here. So number five, honor thy father and thy mother. That's a thou shalt. Shall, right? That's an action. Number five, thou shalt not kill. Six, I'm sorry, that's six. Seven is thou shalt not commit adultery. Eight, thou shalt not steal. Nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And 10, thou shalt not covet. So we got 7 verses 3. I don't think about that normally. I had never looked through the Ten Commandments and thought about it from that perspective. The Ten Commandments is heavily weighted toward things that we ought not be doing versus things we ought to be doing. Now, why do you think that is? Was the bigger problem that day lack of people being willing to do stuff, so they needed a push to do the right thing, or was the bigger problem in that day the fact that people were doing things they should not have been doing that were drawing them away from God? It would appear as though we're 7-3 here on the thou shalt nots. It would appear as though the first thing these people needed to do to get serious about being a God follower was to stop doing a significant amount of things that they were doing. You guys with me? Make sense? You buy it? I heard a voice, and I don't know where it came from. The knots are like an anchor that holds you back, and you need to dump it. Yeah. Good point. Excellent. All right. So, I'm going to wrap up here. Really, so you guys know, this week, all I wanted to do this week was kind of lay a little foundation about the importance of talking about sin. Next week, I will continue that on. I'm even going to talk a little bit about different levels of sin next week. So that is a really, really weird topic, I think, something that I've not thought much about until recently. And so I'm still continuing to learn about that. I've been asking different people and getting some nice input on that. But to start wrapping it up here, I think it's important with this little symbol there. Do you see that come on there? Sin kills. Sin kills everything. I think for people that are in this community and say we don't talk enough about sin, and then we've got other people in the community who say that we do talk a lot about sin. In fact, Brandon, I almost would put you on the spot, but I'll hold off on that. But I know you believe we talk about it a lot. And I think it's a perspective thing. I think it's this idea that anytime we're talking about moving in toward righteousness, we can see that as moving away from sin, but that's not always obvious to everybody. And so for some people, they feel like we talk about sin a lot, and for other people, they don't feel like we talk about it much at all. But sin kills everything. Sin is the separation from God. What do we do with that? How do we move forward with that? Doug talked about this a couple weeks ago. So what do we do individually? What do we do in terms of TLR, and what do we do as a community in Columbus? I'm not going to answer these questions again, but I do want to spend the last, we got 5 minutes, so I want to spend just a couple minutes here going back to something Doug said 2 or 3 weeks ago that I thought was really, really important. It affects these two topics right here. Doug started talking about this concept of confrontation. I wish I could remember exactly how you said it, Doug, but you talked about this idea of someone coming to you and confronting you and saying, hey, you're doing something that I think is wrong. You're doing something that I disagree with. Now, what is pretty common that I would say to you is I would say, hey, you got a problem with me? You come talk to me. I'm open. I want to hear it. And I've heard a lot of others say that around here. We say that all the time. It's the right thing to say. It's the right attitude. But what I find with myself, and I'll see if you guys can resonate with this, what I really mean is if you'll come talk to me about something and I can agree with you that it's wrong, then I'm happy you came and talked to me. You guys get what I'm saying? If you come to me and you say, hey, Quinn, the other night when you were over there in the corner talking to your wife and you were screaming and cussing at her and spanking her and all those, no, that doesn't make any sense, but you were doing all those things, yeah, so two stories confused there, sorry. You were doing all these things you should have been doing, I'm telling you that was wrong. And I can say to you, oh yeah, bad day, I get it, I missed it, you know what, I'm going to go apologize to Jill, I'm going to apologize to the community, we're going to move forward on this. But if someone comes to me and says, hey, Quinn, you did, and it was wrong, and I actually believe that it was a righteous act. And so I'm up here with my guitar some Sunday morning, and I am playing my guitar and singing like crazy, and you guys are all looking at me saying, dude, that's not even worship. Like, well, first of all, it's horrible, and it's beyond that. It's all about you. You're just up here trying to put on some show for people. I used to be in show choir in high school, so I can do the jazz hand. I can do this thing. I can do it all. I'm the whole package. But truly, I learned a long time ago that I like attention. And you guys, some of you heard me say this before. It's part of my problem when I teach on Sundays is that I'm always concerned about the fact that I like attention. You guys would be able to see that and come to me. So I'm saying, from my perspective, hey, I'm doing this great thing for God. I'm at church on Sunday morning. I'm leading. I'm doing all this wonderful things. And you guys are coming to me saying, no, you're da, 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 da. Now, I'm not so happy you confronted me because I don't even agree with you. Okay? That's what I got from Doug's. Am I even close to what you were talking about? And I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly the right way to do it because I wouldn't say that I've done the best job with this in my life. And the reason I know I haven't is because not very many of you guys come to me and tell me how big of a jerk I am, right? You don't really. And there are times that you ought to, and you don't. You're thinking about it right now, aren't you, Kevin? This is going to be an ugly day. What'd you say? Right, behind my back. You gossip about it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Would you say that again? Right. It's this problem that once I approach somebody or I see someone else approach somebody and I see them get their head bit off for just trying to help, that then I've just learned to not approach that person. You guys with me? And it's, am I a brave enough soul to go ahead and be viewed as a jerk to strive to help another person have a chance to get closer to God because I see them doing something that's pulling them away from God? Sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. And am I a big enough person to be able to have someone come and tell me that I'm doing something that is wrong and I actually know that they're wrong? I know they're wrong. Am I a big enough person to say, okay, thank you. Genuinely, thank you. I know that was difficult to share. And I disagree with you, but I'm going to go off and pray about it. I'm going to figure out how God is working through this situation to possibly highlight something that I'm not seeing. Because there's probably something there. You know, I can't see it. And I thought that song I was playing was really good. And no one else liked it, even God. Okay, now I had like popcorn pop up here. One moment. It is a quarter after, so if you've got kids, please go pick them up so the teachers don't kill me. And we will go for just a couple more minutes, but we're going to talk about this again next week. Come next week chatty. It's a lot easier for me when you're chatty, so I appreciate this. So we had Charity and we had Cheryl Lee. Was there another hand that went up in this? Remind me your name. I'm sorry. Allie? Let's start with Allie.
I think the biggest thing that we need to keep in mind when it comes to is it a sin or not is would we be doing whatever we're debating on if God was right next to us? Because God is always with us. He's right there with us. But if he was here physically, would we be doing it?
It's like the wearing the t-shirt saying, Jesus is my homeboy. Would you really say that if he were standing in front of you? Yeah. You might. You might not. Shirley. Didn't get the point across, yeah.
Yeah, and so that, you know, and all that time, I'm not loving them because they're hurting. They're continuing to cause a problem in their own life, whether they see it or not. You know, whatever's going on, there's still consequences for this behavior. You know, and it takes loving them enough, like a parent, that we love our kids enough to discipline the right way, to help form them the right way. You know, that we say, yep. Okay, we're going to discuss a punishment for this because there are consequences. You know, and I love you
Right, and we have to be aware that there may be a reason why someone doesn't say something to us. And I know that's been the case in my life, is that sometimes I'm so dead set on proving to people that I'm right that it's just not worth trying to correct me because it's too much trouble. Charity. Quote of the day from Charity, we don't have to be jerks. Well, okay. So. No, this is a good point. I'm sure. I think there is an art to saying it well. Okay, I'm coming to you in just a second. I think there's an art to saying it well, but I think there is also times, and I bet you've experienced this, Charity, that you have been quite the artist, and it still was a challenge to get that across. Yeah. Our intentions. Sometimes I attack a person just because I don't like them. So it's kind of fun. A hurt feelings. Oh. Luckily, I'm so much younger than you, Doug, I don't know. So, okay. Brandon, I'm sorry. Yeah, and that's why even in marital relationships, you'll see these marriages where the husband and wife are struggling with these conversations, and sometimes that's because the husband and wife aren't as close as they ought to be anyway. And so they're not living that bonded life that then allows the love that one of them is sharing to the other one to be obvious. You know, because like you're saying, Charity, when you're trying to show that love, you're trying to show that caring nature, I could believe there are some people here, no matter how hard I try, it's going to be hard for them to realize that because I'm not in deep enough community with them to really. And so sometimes I'll actually, if I see a real big problem, I'll seek out somebody that's close to a person that I think it will be better received from them. And it's not like I do this all the time, guys, just so you know. So, yes. And this is it, and we're going to wrap up because we are way over, and I'm so sorry about that. I agree. It's hard. It is Community Meal Sunday. Mr. Riddle? Huh? Okay. Is there somebody in charge of Community Meal today? Eric Riddle. Really, all I need to know is, should we do a prayer for the meal now, or do we need to break for a little bit and then let the meal kick off in another half hour or so? I don't. What's here? All right. Let's wrap up with a prayer, and we'll pray for the food, and it'll be a party after that. So, God, we are, God, we're thankful to be here as a community today. I appreciate that people spoke up today, I appreciate that we've got a community that's open to talk about this topic. God, we've got real diverse people here with different opinions about what is right and what is not right, and that makes it a bigger challenge to work through this, and I'm amazed how you help us to work through this. It's the kinds of things that break communities apart and destroy communities, and yet I think we can thrive through it, God, and I have faith in you that we can thrive through these types of differences where we challenge each other and we grow, and each of us have to adjust our lives and realize that sometimes we got to swallow a little bit and take the advice of someone else. And sometimes it might not even make sense, but we make the adjustment on good faith, knowing that you're going to guide us through it. God, we appreciate this chance to celebrate as a community together a meal. And God, we ask that great conversations and great relationships will grow on days like today. God, we love you, and we celebrate you, and we ask that you'll guide us throughout this week. Through Christ we pray. Amen.